Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a problem. That's a problem for a cereal.
A huge problem.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Still no lies detected. Just being honest. I'm biased. It's my hill to die on. How's everybody doing on a cool, kind of rainy summer day? What's going on? It's okay though. We needed the rain. Who has anyone under the age of 40 years old ever said we needed the rain?
Oh, I'm there. The lawn needs the
you
rain.
You care about your lawn.
I mow the lawn, so I'm like, it's got to look pretty after I do, and it's going to look kind of not good, like when it's,
But if you mow the lawn,
yeah,
and you don't have to mow it, isn't that a win, kind of?
It is a win, but also, like, I drive home, I look at it, I'm like, we need some rain here.
Wow. Right at inception here, you're blowing me up. Aside from, like, farmers, some of whom could be under 40, golf course superintendents, like professional landscapers. I think the average person working like the regular 9-to-5 type job, you don't get to we needed the rain until you're 40. I don't think. I don't know. I could be wrong.
That's probably right.
It sounds like you're 26?
27.
27.
I'm getting up there.
Boy, the years are flying by here.
Buddy. I know. I know.
I don't feel like that's a thing that young people say.
It's not. It's okay. It's definitely not.
We needed the rain. I don't know.
I woke up this morning and I'm like, there we go, baby.
This might be an indication of me having sort of, given up. I still take care of the yard, but when we first moved in the house, every year, like whatever grass the dog had killed in the preceding, months, I would like sort of dig up, reseed and water and like really work at it. And that's gone. Like,
yep.
That is just over. And I have graduated to, I don't even know. Like, we needed the rain. I'm not one who looks at my yard and goes, thank God we needed the rain.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, I don't have to cut it. It's fine. There's some ugly weeds growing there, but the grass isn't growing. It's brown.
You're making it.
I'm not mowing anything.
Yes, yeah, so you've graduated to we need the rain !
Yeah.
I meant we need the rain! Like, exclamation point.
Yeah, okay. See, yeah, very subtle. That's punctuation for mm-hmm. you. I mean, these things are meaningful. Yeah, I don't know. We needed the rain. What are some other examples of things only old people say? I've recently discovered here, I'll answer my own question quickly. This has been a relatively new development. I think I've mentioned it a couple of times in passing on the show. I take golf seriously enough now that I'm keeping score. I have a handicap. I register each round with a USGA handicap app.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tracking how I'm doing, and I noticed a trend that has developed over the last couple of years where when I play on a weekday, like a Tuesday morning or a Thursday morning, which I pretty regularly do, I score better. I don't really drink beer at all on weekdays. Like if we have a if there's an event or something, I'm going out, maybe. But like it's not a regular thing. I go home from work, make dinner, watch a ball game, and go to bed. That's it. And there's no beer really in between there. I don't even really like keeping beer in the house anymore because it just I'd rather not be tempted by because I really still do like it a lot. But so I play on a Tuesday or Thursday and I'm shooting the best rounds I've ever played have been midweek rounds like 71, 74 at Delaware. Okay. It's not, the hardest place ever to say the least, right? It's forgiving, I think is what I want here. But on Saturday mornings, we regularly play, although this July I haven't played once there on a Saturday morning, but usually we'll play on Saturday morning, Jeremy and my son and my friend John Gale from Canada. And I like, the weekend, Friday, we get out of work, go to the bar, have a couple, two, three beers. I feel that on Saturday morning when I'm playing golf. And I don't score, I very rarely score as well on the weekends as I do during the week. And it's not like, it's not like I'm out doing keg stands or something on Friday night. It's really just a few beers. And so subtly couple turned into few. Anyway, now I am like, I better not have any beers. I'm playing golf in the morning. Like, that is not something that 20-year-old me or 30, 40-year-old me would have ever thought.
Yeah, no.
I used to subscribe to, I'm so terrible at golf, I'm looser and more relaxed if I've been out the night before. Like, that is completely a foreign concept to me now.
I do love that for you, yeah, where you take it seriously enough where you're like, guys, the round's tomorrow. It's 7 in the morning.
Got to take it easy.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not there at all.
So much so that we played on the 4th of July. Owen and myself played a match against Jeremy and Joe from the morning show. And Jeremy is, to me, easily the best golfer amongst the four of us. He, in fact, I think they talked about this on the show, so I don't think I'm telling tales out of school. Last weekend, he played in a member guest at Transit Valley Country Club, Jeremy did, and shot 37 on the back nine, and they won the tournament.
That's big time.
Like, that is, I'm proud if I shoot 37 at Delaware. Like, 37 at Transit Valley Country Club. Like, holy cow, right? But we played on the 4th of July, and Jeremy even asked me, he had a cousin visiting from out of town. You want to, come out here where we're meeting on Hurdle at our usual spot. You want to come have a few? And I went home beforehand intending to go and thought, nah, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And my son and I, we beat Jeremy and Joe. And Jer was, put him in a – He had some beers on Friday night. I'll put it that way. So he was kind of sloppy and his attention to detail wasn't great. And we beat him. He texted me and Owen after this round. I think it was Friday night or maybe Saturday, whatever day it was that they won this tournament. He's like, I just shot a 37 on the back nine and we won the member guest at Transit Valley Country Club. I'm like, yet somehow you lost to us.
That's the beauty of golf, though, also right there. How did that? That's gorgeous.
But anyway, all right, enough old people. We needed the rain. Mike is away and is going to be away for the rest of this week and even all of next week. So we're going to stretch out here. I'll have some co-host opportunities coming up, including Sal, tomorrow for a couple of hours, and then one day next week Sal will be in, and Nate Geary will be in for a few days as well. Some of just me and Zach hanging out with y'all, and that is going to be the case today. Sal will stop by, I'm told, in studio for a visit with me at 4 o'clock, and our old buddy Matthew Collar, now of the Purple Insider in Minneapolis covering the Vikings, will be my guest at 5. I know, go figure. I was tweeting about the Bills receiving corps. Not from a, I'm not choosing violence Okay, I mean, it's my first day alone in a while. I wanted to sort of settle in. This is not, I don't want Brandon Bean to call and yell at me. I mean, it would be great if he called, but, you know, whatever. I'm not looking for a fight, right? This is not a the Bills need more receivers point. It's more from a point of optimism. My thought today, and I tweeted this, I put a poll out. If you had to, if you were going to bet real American cash dollars on all receiver aside from Khalil Shakir elevating this year. And I think pretty modest numbers, elevating to 60 receptions and somewhere between 6 and 10 touchdowns. Who would you bet on? Did I already say receivers? Because it's really pass catchers. I want to include Kincaid here for sure. I mean, I even went and looked at Knox's career averages just to round it all out. But I would never bet on Knox to be the guy that suddenly that happens to. I think Kincaid's a real contender for this idea. But who amongst the receiving core would you bet on becoming, you know, Shakir's 1B, if Shakir's 1A, or even elevating past what Shakir has done? That might be asking a lot. Shakir had 76 catches last year, only 4 touchdowns, but by far their leading pass catcher. Kincaid was second on the team with 44, only played 13 games. Shakir played 15. I mean, he sat out the finale, I think, but missed a game in there too. But anyway, I went and looked at the career averages for everyone. It was really easy for Coleman because he's only played one so I played the one season. But I put this poll up, I don't know, around lunchtime, I think. And what usually happens when you put a poll like that, or really any kind of poll up, is you get a couple hundred votes, and it, however it's going after a couple hundred votes, usually ends up being what it ends up. You know, it's pretty indicative of what the result is going to be. And now I haven't looked in a half hour, 20 minutes now, so I should check on this to make sure. But when I put the poll up, it was like, oh, the choices, I only included Kincaid, Coleman, and Palmer as your options on the poll. And other, you know, other comment, please, right? There's not room to do the whole receiving core and all the tight ends and everything. So I thought I'd choose the three that I would think most Bills fans are most bullish about. I mean, there's probably some Elijah Moore super fans out there that think maybe he can do it, or someone who really loves Curtis Samuel, who's, you know, had, you know, a decent career in the league, but even he, his career averages are not even at that level that I'm describing. And so the poll, one thing at a time, the poll initially started out, it was like 33, 33, 33. Like, it was like a dead heat between all three choices. And then like an hour or two went by and Coleman sort of elevated beyond the other two. And then Palmer got a late push. But Kincaid is third. Coleman's got 40% of the votes. Palmer, 34. Kincaid, 23 at this point, with 850-so votes tallied. 1.9% are saying other, and I've got a few replies here for Elijah Moore. If you want to play along, obviously lines are open. It's just me and Zach hanging out. So we're always certainly more open. I mean, we're always open to taking phone calls if they're there, but even more so on a day when one or the other of us is on vacation like Mike is now. So the phone number is 803-0550. If you want to get in on this or just play along on social media, that's fine. But if you were placing a bet on which Bills pass catcher other than Shakir will break through to, say, 60 catches and between 6 and 10 touchdowns, who would you throw your money on? I would tell you, for me, and I'll get you all everybody's career averages, including three guys who weren't included in the poll because, again, there wasn't room. I would put my money on Coleman myself. And because I think we've got such a small sample size here with him. It's just the 1 year, and he missed time, and I feel like the potential for him to take a step is really there. I think whatever concerns there are about him, his ability to separate, and whatever else you might not love about him as a prospect coming into the draft and on, being on the Bills now going into a second season, I still think there is a skill set there that can elevate. I think his size, I think his athleticism, I think there's a player in there that I think can get off. It might require them getting more versatile in how they use him, and conversely, Shakir as well, maybe swapping, you know, roles at times just to try to work other guys in and get Coleman going. But I'm sort of buying the summer hype on Coleman at this point. And I recognize how dangerous a proposition that is, but it's not like he's some depth player, right? On a last chance. It's not even like he's Elijah Moore, who's, you know, not on a last chance, I wouldn't say, but I mean, he's facing a numbers game, I think, to become a meaningful contributor on this team. But it's interesting, amongst the wide receivers, he's got the best career average reception-wise. Here's the rundown. The three guys I mentioned in the poll, Kincaid's career average, 2 years, 58.5 receptions, 2 touchdowns. Coleman, obviously, 1 year, so there's no need to do averages, 29 receptions, 4 touchdowns last year. Palmer has averaged 45.5 receptions per season, only 2.5 touchdowns. He is spiked by one big year, 170-ish catch year in L.A. with the Chargers, but those are his numbers. Samuel is at 43.5, 2.8 touchdowns per year, and Samuel is also someone who spiked. He had a year very similar to the year Shakir just had. Quite a few years ago now, but Samuel had like a 77 catch season somewhere in there that boosts that. Elijah Moore, career averages, 50 receptions, 2.25 touchdowns. I went ahead and threw Knox on here just because he's going to be on the field, I'd presume, a lot. 32 receptions, 3.8 touchdowns per year. And he's also sort of, the touchdown number is helped a lot by a big year and then a pretty good year the following year. I think he went 9 touchdowns and then 7. And since then, it's been a little more scarce. But those are the averages. And while I think you can look at Moore and Palmer in different ways, but their averages are encouraging. Kincaid's average, you know, the touchdowns are not good, but 58.5 catches, including that 73 catches as a rookie 2 years ago, should be encouraging. But of all the guys here, he might be the one I'm most worried about staying on the field. I know it was only one day, but already knee soreness, and I think it really undid his season last year. And I'm a little, I mean, I guess you could choose to be worried or not worried about anyone in that regard. But with Kincaid, I just feel like there's more reason to be a little leery of him. So I would bet Coleman myself if I were finding my way to putting a bet in on this. And I, you know, there's probably someplace in some way that you can do that kind of thing. Like, I wouldn't want to just go to his over-under receptions because I'll bet it's really low. I would want to juice that up.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast,
and go like 60 and say 7 touchdowns or something if I were going to put a bet in on Coleman. I just think the opportunity is going to be there for him to be on the field on a very regular basis, and I think the Bills should be motivated to get both he and Kincaid on track to the point where they are regular and real dependable contributors. There's big draft stock to varying degrees. I mean, one's a first-round pick, one is the first pick of the second round. But the last 2 years, pass catchers are your first picks, and I would think that the organization would want to get those guys featured and have them, you know, look good. I mean, you know, provided they can both walk and chew gum, which I think they've already demonstrated they can do. So Coleman would be my bet. 803-0550. is the number. You want to get in on this, we'd love to have you. Plenty of room for you today, like I said. We don't have a guest until 4, and that will be Sal off of another day, a return to practice today for the Bills. And then at 5 o'clock, Matthew Collar. Again, 803-0550 is the number. Mark is going to lead us off here in the first segment of the day on WGR. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Bulldog, how are we doing?
Good, man.
You stole my thunder last second. It's definitely Keon.
Well, I work here, so sorry.
That's right. You can play the averages game, right? Like, if you take Keon and times two his season last year, he kind of reaches the averages of the other players already. And then, you listed all the other variables and reasons why he could step up and, more opportunity share, his draft position, so on and so forth. But the obvious answer is Keon's the guy that can take that jump. Otherwise, you're throwing darts against the board, and
yep.
saying this guy's gonna have a career breakout year, this or that. Which usually we know how that goes. Guys are who they are,
right?
So, Keon.
Yeah, and I think for the Bills, that's the best case scenario too. And I guess you could make the same statement about Kincaid, but I'm a little less bullish on him than I am Coleman. But I yeah. think if Coleman becomes someone who they can count on, I mean, that really answers a need. Like, whether he ascends to the level of like a bona fide number one, 110 catch guy or something. I mean, I'm not predicting that, but
right.
I think as a compliment to what they've got with Shakir, if I can get him in the neighborhood I'm talking about, I think that's really good for the Bills' future.
Yeah, I was the same way with Kincaid, too, but he also brought up that point where, you just can't trust him on the field at this moment.
Right.
So I'm a Kincaid truther. I'm with you on that. But, yeah, I think Keon's the right answer at this point.
All right, Mark. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the call, man.
I'm missing Pittsburgh Farms Dairy. I've been in the city. I've been out of Pittsburgh for, like, 7 years now. So all these Farms Dairy tweets everywhere, they're killing me.
I'm sorry, the what?
I'm a Pittsburgh native.
So oh.
Farms Dairy. They're all over the Twitter app.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been. So yeah. Good for you if you. But I'm sorry.
Right up your alley, Bulldog. Right up your alley.
Yeah. It's ice cream. Thanks. I'm not really sure how to take that. Right up your alley. It's ice cream. It's a place you go to, like, pack on calories. Yeah. I'm definitely pro ice cream. That's not there's no age dividing line there. I think you love ice cream as soon as you realize it exists, you love it, and you probably love it until you're dead. Right? It starts and stops. But yeah, that's a feature of training camp. All the media folks, if you follow, lots of the reporters, it's that place, Pittsburgh pub, and there's some new contenders, right? There's a bar bill out there now, and Sal was at some great place on the lakefront, Marge's lakefront, maybe. Anyway, looked great, the pictures I saw. But yeah, Pittsburgh Dairy is a big one, a regular stop during training camp for everyone, and I guess for the players too, and Bills personnel in general. All right, 803-0550 is the number. Again, you want to get in, I'd love to hear from you here. Lines are open. If you were placing a bet on which Bills pass catcher other than Shakir will break through to, say, some modest numbers, 60 catches, 6 to 10 touchdowns, who would you throw your money on? Kincaid, Coleman, Palmer, someone else, Samuel Moore, get in on it. Love to hear from you. Sal at 4, Matthew Collar at 5. We're off and running on a kind of dreary summer Thursday here on WGR.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.